Acts 17:17 says, "So he, Paul, reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there." Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. As always, I'm your host, Pastor Bryce. Today we have the true, genuine privilege of having with us Dalton Selvidge. Dalton, thanks for being on here.
It's good to be here, Bryce.
And there's a reason Dalton's on here, and that is because today, as we really wrap up our quarter on evangelism, I've asked Dalton to come and talk with us about contact evangelism, also known as street witnessing and several other names, open-air witnessing, to where you're sharing the gospel with someone you don't have a previous relationship with. I've asked Dalton to come do that because he has some experience in that, so I'm looking forward to hearing his answers to some questions. Before we jump into that, probably if you're listening to this, you know Dalton, but you might not. So as always, I do like to ask our guests these two questions, which I'll ask you. And number one is, very briefly, how did you come to know the Lord? And then number two, how did you end up at Faith Bible Church?
Sure. So I became a Christian when I was a sophomore in high school. But backing up before that, I remember praying as a young boy and believing that God was good and that he was going to protect me all my life. And I believed like the Bible was true and that Jesus was the Messiah. But I really rejected that in my heart. I even was baptized in fifth grade and I knew that I was lying, but I went and I did it anyways because my grandfather was getting baptized. But my grandfather is really faithful to bring me to church, quiz me on Bible trivia through my young adult life, even though I was looking forward to sin. But God broke down my family in high school, and he just led me to himself, got into a Bible study. I wanted to know the Bible after that, so he's been so good to me to save me. And then I started coming to Faith Bible when I went to the University of Evansville. I had a mutual friend, Corey Mock. He was coming to Faith Bible and knew it was solid, and I had to stay after I heard the preaching here. So
that's great. Yeah, Corey. We miss having Corey here. He's the one person I can talk math with. Probably not the one person, but the one person who might enjoy it.
I'll talk math with you.
Okay, Bryce. Good. Duly noted. Duly noted. Everybody needs a math talker in their life, don't they? Well, we're very glad that you're here. And like I said, you know, we're coming to the end of this quarter on evangelism. We've done a lot of teaching on evangelism, and certainly even for myself, just lots of thinking about evangelism. But there's a difference between thinking about it and then doing it. And there's a big gap between those. And so it's helpful to have you on here because you've been faithful to be doing contact evangelism, going and sharing with strangers, which we'll come back to in just a second. I wanted to begin, though. We've been talking about different contexts in which we share the gospel. For example, how you share the gospel with family members, which has its own challenges. And then how you share the gospel in relationships and so forth. We're finishing up with this. This contact evangelism sometimes gets a bad rap. In fact, I was just thinking before you got here about how during the Great Awakening of the 1700s, it's interesting looking back because George Whitefield had started preaching out in the open air and had seen great success in terms of lots of people coming and hearing him. Well, he was good friends with John Wesley. Wesley was part of the Church of England, and the Church of England required you to preach in a church. And so Whitefield was encouraging his friend Wesley, saying, you gotta go outside and preach. You could have so many more people listening. And Wesley was really torn. And part of the reason, I think, behind the Church of England's thinking at that time was there were so many radicals. And the radicals were the ones going out in the fields and just saying ridiculous stuff. So the Church of England said, no, put a stop to all that. Let's be orderly. Let's be reasonable. People come to church and we tell them the gospel. Don't go out there in the fields. Thankfully, Wesley eventually just went, I'm going to do it anyways. Today, similarly, for many reasons, there can be a negative view of contact evangel, open air. People are thinking of someone with a bullhorn out by the side of the road yelling, it's the end of the world. I wanted, therefore, to just start really briefly by pointing out, putting all the cultural, whatever anybody's background stuff is, aside. I just want to point out, when you read the New Testament, there's a lot of contact evangelism. For example, Jesus' ministry had a lot of contact evangelism. So I've got Matthew 13 as an example. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables. So he is not in a building. This is not a formal religious service. This is him in a boat by the beach with just random people there. And then John 4 is a smaller scale example of contact evangelism, where Jesus is at the well and that Samaritan woman is there, and she's shocked because he speaks with her, shares really, in essence, the gospel with her. But he didn't know her before she didn't know him. In the early church, just a couple examples, Acts chapter 8, famously Philip, the Holy Spirit told him to, but tells Philip, go over there, the Ethiopian eunuch who is in his chariot on his way back to Ethiopia, reading an Isaiah scroll, not sure what he's reading. And Philip comes up and just says, hey, what are you reading? And it strikes up a conversation. He welcomes him into the chariot, and he comes to Christ. And then I started this podcast with Acts 17:17, which is about Paul reasoning in the synagogue, but also in the marketplace every day, reasoning with those who happened to be there. He didn't know them. They didn't know him. That happened at Athens, and then it led to a great opportunity where they invited him to their Areopagus or Mars Hill for him to present more formally what his viewpoints were. But that all began with contact evangelism. So that's just the one point I wanted to make, is whatever someone thinks, whatever background someone's coming to this subject with, it's clear in the New Testament it was a common practice and shouldn't be discouraged. Now, to get started, I've mentioned that you do some contact evangelism. Could you just give us a picture of some of the contact evangelism you do? What's it look like?
Sure. So for me currently, I've been going down to the Metz bus station in downtown Evansville and sharing the gospel with the people waiting on the bus. So some people are getting off the bus, some people are waiting on a Greyhound bus. So there's all these different sorts of people, and a lot of times coming from troubled areas. But there's a group of us, so there's a few guys, and we all come armed with tracts, Bibles, and even some snacks to hand out. There's a gracious elderly man named Jim Ellard, and he can't do evangelism, but he loves it, and he's given us boxes of New Testaments. I think we're on our third or fourth box, and we, you know, I don't give a New Testament to everyone, but certain individuals who don't have a Bible. Yeah, so we've been going down there for about a year and a half, and practically it works for me because I'm at work. I'm really close to it. So I just walk down there once a week on my lunch break. And God has been so gracious to give us this ministry. I'll call it a ministry because we go down there and we share. But really what it looks like is we're just going up to people. They're waiting, you know, not talking to anyone, so they don't have anything to do. So we talk. I just go up and ask them a question. I hand them a track, and it goes from there. But the people at the bus station are broken, and they're hurting. A lot of them are coming off drug addictions, or maybe they're still addicted to drugs. There's prostitution, and they're really some lowly people. And it reminds me of what Jesus said in Luke 5:32, that he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I say that starting off because the people that we're able to share with will and are very eager to hear what I have to say sometimes. Sometimes they completely reject it, but there is a real sense that they are willing to hear the gospel.
You mentioned, you know, going up to people and handing them a tract. And maybe if we just focus in on that for a second, because I think for some people, when they think of what you're doing, contact evangelism, and they imagine, huh, could I do that? One of the first fears is just, how would you even get a conversation started with a complete stranger just sitting there. So could you give us a picture of how do you guys go about just getting the conversation started?
Well, we all have different philosophies, and we just kind of agree to do it however we'd like. So we often go up and we say, hi. That's a good first start.
That's a good start. Write this down.
Yeah. And I would just ask them, like, hey, have you ever seen a track like this? And I just hand them a little track, and it says The Romans Road. And I said, there's some good scripture on there. Have you ever read the book of Romans? And they say, no, what's that? Or, oh, yeah, I've read the book of Romans. So it goes from there. So the first step is just being bold enough to go and do that. And I think when we pray for that, God will provide that boldness. But something practically helpful is, I think about 1 Peter 3:15, and it says, sanctify Christ Jesus as Lord in your hearts. And then the next part is, always be prepared to give a defense for the hope that is within you. But the first part is that's really crucial, that we sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, that we make him special, that we make him premier and supreme. And if we do that, we would all be very eager to share with our coworkers. And I fail at this, not doing this at work better and at different places. So we could go out on the street, and we would probably all willingly talk about the Kentucky Wildcats basketball team to a random stranger, probably with little trepidation. But it is more difficult when we talk about the gospel, because we might have to talk about something personal with them. But practically speaking, I think if we ask practical questions, I think that's a great first start. I also think of sharing the gospel like taking a cold plunge. It's like you have to get into this cold water, and you're supposed to stay in there for 3 minutes. But after you get in the water, after you start the conversation, things get easier.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good comparison. We could talk about a basketball game with someone, and it'd be just fine. So why is it different when we're sharing the gospel? And like you said, we may talk about some personal, well, we will talk about some personal things in the gospel and sin and some things that are offensive. I think that's another holdup for some people, is really the fear of being rejected. To go up, to get the courage to take the plunge, only for the person to be annoyed and aggravated, or even to turn around and have some hard questions. Maybe this is a real smart person. They've thought about objections, and you're not ready on the spot to answer that. You're going to look like a fool or something. How have you handled that? Do you see much rejection when you're sharing? And how do you respond to negative feedback from people?
Well, I actually have looked like a fool multiple times sharing the gospel.
Great.
it is really humbling. Yeah. And it's good to be humbled. Generally, there really isn't an incredible amount of rejection on the street. But Jesus said in John 15:18, if the world hates you, know that it hated me first. So it is expected that people are going to hate you if you are a Christian and you want to be faithful to Christ. And the reality is, they're going to hate you whether you're going to share the gospel with you or not. So we might as well share. But I guess practically, I've probably only had maybe 10 people be furiously angry with me on the street or mad, and most of the time those conversations don't last very long. But there was one example that I thought of where I was late. I was like 5 minutes late, and my friend Alex Kipp was sharing the gospel with someone, and this man got so ferociously angry. He was yelling, and he was telling us that we serve a God that is false. And essentially, after that conversation ended, the people sitting there were shocked. And it was just a great testimony to the depravity of man. And we just went up and we talked to them about our own sinfulness and just said that without the grace of Christ, like, our hearts would be that dark as well. Mm-hmm. So they're dealing with negative responses. I mean, it's expected.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, you know, another challenge in contact evangelism sometimes, and I guess I'm making an assumption here, but it's usually true, is when we share the gospel with people we have established relationships with, a lot of times that's how someone comes to Christ. So if you're talking someone's testimony, a lot of times it's someone who knew them, a friend. And when we're doing contact evangelism, oftentimes if God uses us in leading someone to Christ, it's as one step in a long chain of people sharing, oftentimes. I mean, there was Pentecost, and that was just hugely successful, and there's thousands of people, but doesn't. I don't think that's happened yet at the Mets, but... And so oftentimes we don't get to see the fruit of sharing the gospel with people. So how do you, what keeps you motivated to be able to keep going sharing the gospel, even though you're not always getting to see the fruit of your work down there?
I think that I believe that if people hear the gospel, they might change one day down the road. They might change after I have a conversation with them. Sometimes people will make a profession of faith. I don't always recommend praying a salvation prayer because you don't know. You don't want to put false hope in someone's heart. But I do think of Jesus in the parable of the talents and the different individuals in it, that there was real growth for Christians who were faithful with their talent. So 98% of the people I don't see again, and I will maybe never talk to again, but I do believe that it's possible, I don't know, I could see someone in heaven one day that they say, you shared the gospel, and I put my faith in Christ later on. I do remember watching a Ray Comfort video, and I love Ray Comfort. He goes and he shares the gospel in the streets. He's kind of, maybe my inspiration. I don't know. And he did a video where he met a girl who he shared the gospel and did a video with a year later. And she turned and she put her faith in Christ, and he never would have known it. But by God's providence, he let them meet again. So we don't know what fruit will come, but I do believe that if we are investing in the kingdom of God, that God will bless our efforts and that he will provide the growth.
Yeah, that's very good. Well, Dalton, thank you very much for taking some time apart to talk with us about this important work. We're very, very grateful for your input.
My pleasure, Bryce.
Now, you who are listening to this, maybe contact evangelism and the passages seem an impossibility and terrifying, and you would never, or maybe it just hasn't crossed your mind as it's something you can do when you see strangers day to day or on an airplane. Maybe it doesn't even cross your mind that you should be sharing the gospel with them or asking them good questions. Well, whatever the case might have been in the past, may God help us all now to think this way.